access number 11750, Reel 6.
Mr. Fred Lineker, Reel 6. You arrived at Esky Kelek round about December 1941. Mm-hmm. What do you remember about that winter you spent there?
Well, they'd had snow, and I believe, then again, rumours, they'd never had snow for decades. I had a Christmas dinner there, for what it was. Tin this and tin that. There was no entertainment, no naffy, so you made your own entertainment. We got, if you could call it, a pass out to Mosel, I went to. Well, they all did. We got a 3-tonner into there, and we was allowed to wander around there on a pass. The chaps bought various things. I got Dorothea Persian silver bracelet, which she still got, but for next to nothing. And that was it. You just went to Mosel. You might have a couple of cans and mess about and come back. And there was no entertainment at the camp, nothing at all.
How did you try and keep warm? Because it was a pretty cold.
Well, like you would keep warm at home here. You had your overcoats on and your scarves and your balaclavas and that. I think it was there that they did some gazelles. That was the first gazelles. I think it was there we saw the gazelles, really, in any number, like we'd see deer in Richmond Park. And of course they had little hunting schemes, wild boar and all that. And
was that for the officers or for everyone?
Well, it wasn't for us. It was for the NCOs and above. And of course, if they got one, it'd be brought back to camp and thrown in with the rations. But that was the only.
What about what football? There was supposed to be quite a bit of football.
There was football. Not that I was terribly interested in it, but there was football. There was games of other sorts. It was a monotonous existence. And
did you do any actual training while you were there? I mean,
the parades. Yes, they loved the parades, especially on Spike. He'd have one on the North Pole. Him. Oh, he'd have his parade.
Now, were you with the company, or was this the employed men's parade, you're thinking of?
Well, I had the employed men's parade in England. He was very, very strict on that. But there, and ever after, he seemed as if he could get a squad of blokes there to mess about with, he was happy. Yes, there wasn't. As I say, there was no really stores there in the sense of the word, or regimental stores or a company stores, and all the bloody tins are all in order like that. It was catch as catch can effort. You know, I was just a D company. I wasn't actually in a platoon. I hadn't a platoon number. I wasn't even in a section. I was just Freddie Lineker of D Company then, and I went with anybody.
But what about the stores? While you were there around until February, someone must have issued things. You must have needed new uniforms and stuff like that. Who did that then?
I honestly cannot remember having an issue of anything there. Where the hell they got it from, I don't know. I was just taken from the stores in Honiton and scattered in D Company after that.
Right. So in
except on Cyprus, as I say, on Cyprus on the airport. But on these jaunts all around the countryside, there was nothing laid on at all.
So in February, the
we left there. I think about February. That would be 42. We left there in February, and we came all the way back. All the way back down to the first place I remember after all that performance getting back was a place called El Kamtara, and it was like a place, as you say, going across the Humber, across the canal there, El Kamtara. It was Melia. And then again, we're not there 2 minutes. You seem as if you sat down, somebody said, get up, we're up again. And we're then off on transport up to Mirza Matru, up the desert.
Now, you couldn't be described as a keen soldier from what you said. How did you
think? I agree.
Now, you were moving now towards the western desert.
That's right.
When you go to Mirza Matru, the writing's on the wall there, if you see what I mean.
Of course.
How did you personally feel? I mean, were you nervous, a bit scared?
Afraid of the unknown. Because you don't know where you're going or what it's like. We've not even met anybody who come back from it and said, oh, you do this up there, oh, it's that, you do this. Nobody knew anything. We just went. And as you say, I wasn't an energetic, soldier at all. It wasn't my piece of cake, that. But
you were in no way looking forward to
it. I wasn't looking forward to it at all. And I've worse to come after that.
So you got to Mirza Matru.
And then, from there, we went up into the Gazala box, which we replaced the fourth Indian Divi. Bloody chapatis all over the trenches, the dugouts. Bloody chapatis and all sorts. And my little oval with Jackie was a deep hole, like a little tunnel in the sand, and where you slept, it's like hard sand, so hard. Funny this, you could make sort of a recess in the wall to sleep in.
More like sandstone then.
Yes, you know, and you could carve it out, make yourself somewhere to sleep underneath.
Were there any supports to hold the roof up?
You went down and it was just dug in like that. Only enough to lie. Oh, up to here, that's all.
Neck high.
Yeah, and then they had your sandbags round. That's all. But I remember that.
Now, this position, you were in this dugout with Jackie Hudson. Did you have your stores in there as well?
No, the stores were separate, what you call it.
But close by?
Yeah.
And they'd been unloaded?
And we got all his gear, bloody Bren gun boxes and mortars and mortar ammunition and 303 ammunition and the grub, what do they call them? He used to bring food up, you see, like Dixies. We did on the skiing. Ah, the Dixies, but they keep warmers, you know.
Before, when you were in Honiton and Yeovil, it was more important. I mean, uniforms and things like that and mess
pans
seemed more important. Did your emphasis now switch to looking after the weapons?
Oh, yes. And your little mess tins and all that. You couldn't afford to lose them. But one of the things that what wore out was your khaki shorts and shirts. You see, you sweat that much, they became like cardboard. When they stuck to your back, when they dried, they were cardboard, literally.
They were stiff.
Yes, stiff. So, and you washed them in the petrol cans. You see? You washed them in petrol cans because water was on short supply. as well.
And what happened? The water truck. I'll come back to.
Well, they just disintegrated, didn't they? It was crazy.
So did you have enough spares to cope with that? With the whole company?
Well, you never washed them very often. You never washed them very often in case it went after somebody learnt the hard way that they what do you call it, they just disappeared and it was very hard to get another one. You didn't do it as often then.
So if they had all fallen apart, you wouldn't have had enough spares, would you?
It wouldn't have gone on, no. That was the thing. It rotted them, you see. It was rotted. And then they used to get these empty petrol cans. It was square, like stainless steel cover, coloured. Fill it with sand and pour petrol on it, and then you had your fire going.
Now, what about the other stores? Did you have to try? I mean, you know, the weaponry and the ammunition. Did you have to make sure the sand was kept out and maintained?
Oh yes, you had to keep them clean.
Was that part of your job?
I had a little job doing that. Yeah.
Were they wrapped? Were they in grease? The rifles, you know, or were they just ready for action?
A thin smear of grease on could be wiped off, but at least protect it from the what's it?
What, the sand?
Got in everywhere, even in the boxes. Even it could be in a box like that, and it'd be blown in.
So did you have to regularly clean them?
One of the jobs was to go around them, yeah.
And about how many rifles, spare rifles and friend parts, would you have?
Looking back, a few, I suppose. Couldn't say how many. Looking back,
approximately,
for the company, 20-30 rifles, maybe it's more. I wouldn't like to say 20-30 rifles.
That gives us an idea. And you'd have.
I can remember distinctly. More than anything, I can see them now propped up. The mortar bombs, isn't it funny? They was in the containers, and they was webbed together. Yeah.
Without the fuses, I presume.
Oh, aye. Yes.
Did you have to be careful? I mean, it was in a sense a very small ammunition dump. Were there any precautions you had to watch?
Camouflage. There was camouflage netted.
Did you put that up?
The used net that comes over, yes, we covered them with that. Of course, you can get any easy enough. Move it about. I'm trying to think. We used to bring, Jackie and I used to go down for rations, bring rations up. Then the water, the 1500 weight type of vehicle with the water tank on used to come up.
And how was your water issued?
So much for the cookhouse, and then bottles, your water bottles, to the lads, and that was it.
Did you go thirsty, yourself?
We did get, because there was a lull. It wasn't like the First World War, where there was about 200 yards apart from your up hole. There was a lull and miles between you. So you could wander about reasonably round the positions. I mean, even you see, you got the Church of Scotland coming round with beverages and the Sally Ann. Very good people there was. And you could get Aussie beer. There, cans of Aussie beer. So, it was, you was being cautious, but you still had the odd little drinkers, you see, and so on. Not to the extent you could get drunk or anything, but it was a drink, other than water, or the tea.
Did the tea taste all right?
No, it was awful.
Why?
I always tasted as if there were a load of sand at the bottom. I always had a sandy taste. Which is obvious, I suppose, someone blew in the what's in the Dixie.
What about washing? Would you have enough water to wash?
Well, this is it. You see, we went to use it. Isn't it funny to think that petrol, the price it is today was more, you had more petrol than you had water. And it seemed to me, because you could wash some of your clothes with petrol, clean them off.
So you wouldn't use, what about washing?
Well, you're very careful with water, and that was another thing, the shaving. It wasn't, as you know, on parade in England, you had to be clean shaven and all that every day, but you could get away with it there a lot better because of the shortage of water, you know.
So they didn't enforce shaving?
Well, they wanted you to do it, but you haven't got the water to do it. And another thing, plenty of people, I'm sure, tried to get it off dry. But there was the fanatics who was soldiers.
What did you do? Did you have a
I shaved as much as I could, but I didn't. I never wanted to waste water. I never like to waste water now. And I've had good reason to, as you will hear later on.
What about the rations? What food did you get?
And when? Oh, bully beef, stews, shall we say. You're sort of littered with stews, and you get a bit of fruit, bananas, what have you, orange. Chocolate, of course, that come up from...
Is this all while you're in the Gazala box, you got all that?
Yeah, as I say, there was a lull. You was living in cuckoo land. Oh, they'll never come, you see. Nothing will happen. We'll be enjoying all this, if you can call it enjoyment. And then some other bugger will come up and relieve us, and we'll go back again. And this is how the war will go on, in our silly head. Well, in mine, anyway.
Was it mainly tinned food? Or did you get...
Never... A bit of fresh meat, sometimes. But more often than that, it was... You got the hardtack biscuits and all. God, truth. Yeah, like dinner plates, nearly, or a small dinner plate.
Could your teeth cope with them?
Well, they did do, yes, but I don't think they did them much good in the after years. But the bully beef. I like corned beef, yeah.
Was the bully beef in it? I mean, what state was it in? It's a bit hot for bully beef.
Don't forget that there has been bully beef found years after that was still eatable.
But I mean...
There was nothing wrong with ours at all. It never tasted off to me.
And the heat didn't... I mean, it's a bit salty and stuff. That didn't bother you?
Except... Well, I wouldn't say it was salty unless you didn't like salt. I mean, this corned beef now has salt in, but I don't say it's salty.
What about other rations? You said you got the canteen. Did you get a cigarette ration?
We had cigarettes and chocolate. I said chocolate bars.
Were you a smoker at the time?
Not. I've never been a prolific smoker. No.
But did you smoke at all?
Oh, I smoked, yes, but not to a great, not to be addicted to them. You follow?
Would you have spares to trade off with your friends, or would you just smoke your rations?
Oh, no, I never had spares. Not then. I found some later on in life.
So you just smoke your ration, but
I
you
just
weren't
bothered? And if I run out, I didn't worry about trying to get some off somebody else.
What did you think of the quality of the cigarettes you were issued with?
I wouldn't like the English. Sometimes we got an English cigarette, you know, sometimes. But... It's funny that we even got Australian beer, everything, or South African. Everything seemed to be a South African or Aussie material. Majority of it, yeah.
What about various aspects of health? Did you have any problem with lice at the time? Fleas?
Fleas, yes. Jumping out the sand when the sun came up, you used to jump out of the sand onto your blankets. Blankets shaking every morning.
What about lice themselves?
I never saw many lice, really, because when ulcers are done, lice seems to, funnily enough, as I say again, repeat, don't I? They seem to thrive on people that could do with a good meal. They seem to thrive on people that that's in need of a meal themselves, that's starving. Down. Run down, that's the word. Run down, people.
So you didn't get lice?
I never got any there, no.
What about
plenty after.
What about some of the other things that can go wrong?
Well,
there was
cases of desert sores, and there was odd cases, and again this can happen to the cleanest of persons, scabies, sweat rash, the grind, you know, sweat rash and things like that.
Did any of those happen to you?
I never got them. Again, I'm lucky.
But it was a problem.
But I've seen it round, yeah.
What about diarrhoea, things like that, constipation, any problems with them?
Not, I'd none, and I never heard of any, but as I say, it's a thing that people don't say they've got, do they? You know what I mean? If you got the runs, it's not something, it's not a topic of conversation, because they think, like we did at home, well, it'd be all right tomorrow.
What were the latrines like in the Ghazala box? What arrangement did they have?
Well, it wasn't curtains, it was, what's it? Sacking. Surrounded sections with the old with the old pit and the bar to sit on. And then you could pass your time, if you got it, of course, sat there watching the beetles play about with it. They call them. The huge beetle used to roll it along the sand. You know. And it's funny that. And you know they got the nutrients from it. They extracted nutriments from what you parted with. Isn't it funny, that? Funny nature. But they enjoyed themselves. And you could watch it to pass the time on, as I say, if you had any.
Did they have enough paper and stuff for you, you know?
Well, there wasn't toilet rolls. It was newspaper, any sort of paper you could get hold of.
Did you mind that sort of condition for the latrines, you know? I mean,
well, that... Again, we'd experienced a little bit elsewhere. It was something new again. You never visualised. You'd come to the state where you were sat on a pole in the middle of the desert.
But you just accepted it, wasn't it?
Like you had to accept everything. But it wasn't accepted in good... In many cases, I didn't accept in good faith. I didn't volunteer for it anyway. You see, but you were in with the swim. You had to go. You had to go with the current.
So, what was the daily routine like? You know, while you during this lull period, I mean, how did the day start for you?
Stand to.
What time would that?
Oh, could be 5 o'clock in the morning.
And what did you do in stand to?
Oh, just stand to in with the company in the slit trenches. Well, the dugout.
So you'd go to where they were from. In
the company with the lads. So stand to there.
How far was your dugout?
Not many yards. Not many yards back. There was always
They'd
one
be ahead
there.
Of you, would they?
I wasn't in one particular. I wasn't destined to go next door to where man used to go in the first one. Stand there. It was just like a.
So you didn't report to a specific platoon?
No, I just went there.
And what
me
did
and
you
Jackie.
Do? What did stand you do there. And stand to?
You had your belt pin, sidearms, it's the same, isn't it? And your rifle, your ammunition, tin helmet on. In the morning, 5 o'clock, it's freezing in the desert, you know, it's cold. Overcoat on. And you stand there looking into space.
So
until some bright spark decides to stand down.
So then what?
Then you're back. Then it could be a bit of PT if you wanted to join in.
Evening Ghazala?
Yes, evening exercises. Because it's low, everybody's... We'll be relieved and nothing will happen. And they had a bit of jumping up and down, and then breakfast. And then... I used to go, as I said, doing a bit of cleaning here, a cleaning there, tidying up here, tidying up there, and the day passed, and Jackie said, Mum, we'll go for rations now, if you say something like that, if we had to go.
So you'd help him going back for the rations?
Back
where would you go back to fetch them from? From the
RASC, a point where the RASC dump was.
So you wouldn't go to the RSM or the RQMS?
RQMS, no.
You yourself went back to the Army Service Corps place?
Yeah.
And how far back would that be?
Oh, a few miles. I wouldn't like to say how many. You see, it's so open, you don't know how many miles you've gone, do you?
So you go in the truck?
We're going to 1,500 weight.
Just you and Jackie?
Jackie.
And then would you pick up a day's rations or a week's rations or what?
Well, the water that used to come up with the RASC in the water tanks, as regards the food, fresh meat, of course, you didn't get that daily, but you get that one day. And then you get a load of, for another day, you get your fruit and your, and the bread. That was another one that was full of salmon.
But would you go back to the RASC every day?
Every day. You got your fresh.
And you'd pick up whatever was there?
Whatever was there.
But would you have to load it up, or would they help you?
Oh, we had helpers. We wanted a lot to put on anyway.
Would you have a driver with you?
We had a driver, yeah.
So there'd be the driver,
Yeah, out the MT, the motor transport. Our motor transport, they call it MT.
So when you got the rations, you'd take
We had to ask for it. We had to ask for the vehicle to get the driver, for me and Jackie to go.
So you go to the motor the motor transport platoon?
Well, Jack had organised that.
So when you got the stuff, where would you take it to?
Back to the cookhouse.
Your company cookhouse?
Our company cookhouse.
Was it company cookhouses?
It was company, D company, yes. Oh,
so you'd take
with this big sigh of things.
And they'd store it?
It wouldn't be stored all that long because it would be used, you see.
So that was another thing.
But then, again, even so, I went out on a patrol, you know. Oh, aye. Didn't get away with it.
I'll come back to the patrol, because that's an interesting, you know, that's a separate thing. What about, after you'd done this jaunt to the Royal Army Service Corps, what would happen then? What time would you go there? Early evening?
About time.
Or would you go at any time, just when...
You see, then again, these are very hard things to answer, because Jackie'd say, oh, well, lad, and I wouldn't look at my watch and say what time it was to go.
So it's whenever.
I would say, I even called him Jack, and he was, I wouldn't say sergeant, you know, I used to call him Jack. He wasn't a soldier neither, really, like me. And we'd just start. I'm getting a truck there, and we'd be away.
So what else?
Actually, when Olsen and I were leaving it all to him, because he got the tapes, hadn't he?
So what else would you do during a day? When we?
Well, you did things to pass the time away, because I'd got my little store dump. I could clean my own rifle out, and then we had Watsits, you know. We still had the old Watsits coming over, the Stukas. Oh, aye. You weren't left alone with them. And they seemed to bounce off, because it was rocky. Rocky in parts. Where it's funny, wherever one seemed to drop, it always seemed to hit a lump of rock. Never seemed to bury in the sand where we'd been digging, you know, where we were bunks were.
Were the Stukas very
frightened? Oh, it was the sound, you see, which created from the. I think the design of the wings did it or something. I don't know what it was, but it was like a banshee wail. Oh, and you seen it there, and it'd come. And as I say, when it was coming down, you think it could see you, only you. And it actually could see, I don't know how many square miles was he looking at, not you. But he thought it was yours. Down he went. Aye.